You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel. And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as today your Indiana Hoosiers move to 4-0 on this young season with an 86-56 victory over the Miami University Redhawks at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, in a game that, you know, Miami kept close for the first 10 to 12 minutes, and then Indiana really asserted themselves and extended the lead, as you would expect them to do, led once again by Trace Jackson Davis, who we will talk a lot about on this show. I'm your host, Jared Morris. I'm here with Coach Brian Tonsoni and Andy Bottoms. And guys, let's start this show the way we start every show. And that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And I'm going to go back to a moment from the first half. And that is, you know, when Indiana was up 10, it was 36-26, and they were in control, you know, but it's still just kind of been a little bit of an uneven first half. And I thought Trace Jackson Davis really put a nice punctuation mark on it with a nice little stretch where he basically created 5 points of his own to extend the lead all the way up to 15. First, he grabbed an offensive rebound, hit a nice little turnaround jumper. Then on the next possession, he got a defensive rebound, and that would be a theme of the day, which is Trace Jackson Davis on the defensive glass. But he led the break, found Miller Kopp in the left corner for three, and Miller Kopp, as he's been doing all season long, drains it in transition. And, you know, there was something about Trace's body language during that stretch. He was just very confident, very, very focused. And, you know, I tweeted out at the time, he's carrying himself like a man among boys out there. And just kind of this aura of determination that I thought he brought to his play, and especially that segment of the game, to essentially just put it out of reach and say, look, there's not going to be any hangovers after a big win. We're not messing around here. Let's take care of business. And that's exactly what Trace did in 25 really effective minutes. He was plus 26, scored 17 points, grabbed 16 boards, had 3 assists. He was fantastic today and made sure that, you know, that nothing funny happened, and that that Indiana did what they needed to do. Another terrific performance from Trace Jackson Davis. All right, let's talk now about our presenting sponsor. All right, our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel. They are now in their sixth season sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their second as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And look, Christmas is coming up. You need to do shopping for the people on your list, and homefieldapparel.com should really be the first place that you stop, because they have 150-something schools now, and they've got something for fans of any school, and no matter what season you're trying to shop for, whether you want t-shirts or their really nice crew necks or the hoodies, they've now got jackets. I mean, they just have so many different items there that you can get. And what's nice is all the designs and logos are really unique and special. You know, a lot of them are vintage from, you know, far back, and they bring them back, breathe new life into them. And the materials that they put stuff on are high quality. They're comfortable. They maintain the colors through many washings. And they've got a special deal going right now for Black Friday. The promo code is Black Friday. You get 20% off your entire order. So load it up. Get something for everyone on your shopping list. Once again, it's Home Field Apparel, the promo code for right now, Black Friday. But if you don't do it right now and you're ever there and you need a promo code, you can always use our promo code HOME and get 15% off. But the website is homefieldapparel.com. Support them. They support us. And, I mean, look, you get great, great apparel when you do. So homefieldapparel.com, wear one for the team. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team, and we will start with Andy Bottoms. Andy, your Bottoms line on this Indiana victory.
I mean, a good cap on a hell of a weekend for IU sports across the board. Yeah. I know Martha the Mop Lady tweeted out, you know, you start with Friday with the win over Xavier, throw in a couple volleyball wins, including a big road win for them. Soccer team wins, women's team blows out Quinnipiac, just a great weekend all around for IU sports. But, you know, for this game, it was, you know, kind of sleepwalking a little bit through the first part, really not making Miami work, settling for a number of long jumpers there. But and they referenced this on the broadcast, that, you know, IU's up 10-9 at some point, or down 10-9 at somewhere around there. Woodson calls a timeout, and at least the way that I charted it, the last 21 possessions of the first half after that point when it was the IU's down 10-9, IU scored 34 points. So that's a just a crisp 1.62 points per possession over the remainder of the half from that point. And I think they scored 15 points on the last seven possessions, finished on 11-0 run. That was part of the TJD plays that you mentioned were part of that. So I think understandable to a certain extent, the quick turnaround after emotional road victory that maybe you wouldn't be as sharp as you might wish you'd be want to be early on. But I thought from there, IU really settled in and controlled things at that point on. And defensively was pretty strong throughout. That really was not the issue at the beginning of the game either. So it's another game where you kind of take care of business, do what you need to do. You always want to get through these without injuries. TJD was icing his back there toward the end. Certainly a situation where it's not worth putting him back in the game, given what the situation was. So we'll see. And if he needs a little rest, and arguably these next two games coming up this week, that would be fine as well. But that Anthony Leal turns an ankle late. All in all, the end result was what you would expect it to be. Just the start was a little bit sluggish if you want to nitpick. But overall, they really turned it on and really gained control and never let go after that point when they were down 10-9.
Coach, it's Ton Sony time. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, thanks to Andy and Jen Bottoms for hosting a couple of their internet friends, as the Bottoms girls called us. It was they questioned why you're hosting some internet friends. But the whole entire family was very welcoming to Cincinnati, as was the IU Alumni Association of Cincinnati for the watch party. Just really enjoyed talking basketball, sharing the assembly call story and stuff. And then tonight's game, you know, it was a little sluggish. You probably expect that after a big emotional win Friday. The thing is that they overcame that and got better throughout the game. And that's what you want your teams to do, is improve within the game. And that timeout that Woodson took shortly thereafter, I thought they picked up the pace offensively and they had more player movement. Bardo was talking about ball movement. They were moving the ball but standing still early. And I thought they ran some more sets. They ran some floppy action, some back screen action, different things. And the ball ended up going inside still. But against the pack line, you got to move the help. And I think Indiana allowed Miami to just sag in and make life a little difficult. And then when Indiana missed some open threes early, that's when everyone got a little stressed in the Discord and whatever, wherever you were on Twitter and worried about the performance. But water was going to find its level, and I thought they did an outstanding job. And the other thing that I'm looking forward to talking to today is that this roster continues to impress. When you got guys coming in to pick up for Trey Galloway like a CJ Gunn, and then in cleanup time, Caleb Banks shows his potential. There's a lot of good things that these games and the next two games are going to show us, and I thought Indiana got a lot out of today's game.
Yeah, no question about it. And we will spend a lot of time talking about those guys. You know, I think let's spend a little time talking about the defense here off the top, which, you know, held Miami of Ohio to 0.812 points per possession. They shoot just 32.4%. You know, and I thought early, you know, it was, you know, the defense was fine, but they were giving up a few more drives and kind of doing some of the overhelping, giving up some, you know, some more open threes than you would like. But it really felt like they tightened that up. And I thought, once again, the young guys coming in off the bench really provided a spark there. You know, you didn't have Trey Galloway's energy on defense, and usually that's one of the roles that he provides, Coach. But I thought today, I thought Tamar Bates defended with great energy. I thought CJ Gunn defended with great energy. I think Malik Renew does everything with great energy. And we're going to talk about him. It's going to be an interesting film room for Malik Renew. But I really thought, you know, I thought once again, those guys really came in and provided a jolt. And I thought that, in addition to, you know, what I mentioned earlier, which is just Trace Jackson Davis was just really determined today. You know, and I thought that really helped kind of get the defense going. And that really took control in Miami of Ohio at that point, was essentially just stuck trying to chuck threes or make tough shots. And they did make a few tough shots, but the defense really tightened up after, you know, kind of a rough start.
A couple things. TJD, when he's providing that effort from the start, really helps his team get going. His rebounding today, obviously the numbers speak for itself, but just his just the way he's rebounding, both offensively and defensively, he's just going up and getting the ball, and it's his. And he is running the floor, and he's playing with a lot of juice and a lot of energy. And I think that rubs off on everyone. Even the last couple of games with some slow starts, he has brought it. And then you have Geronimo with the blocks late, too, like drive into the lane and get your stuff thrown against a backboard. You know, please do that.
That one block was so good. It ended up being a perfect assist out to the guy at the three-point line.
But I agree with you. I thought Tamar was a lot better. He got shook one time at the top of the key, and a guy hit a pull-up jumper. But you're going to have that. I thought C.J. Gunn was magnificent today. And if he can play defense, he's going to see more minutes because he's, you know, like the microwave Vinny Johnson. He's going to be instant offense tonight. But I thought the concern, Jared, you brought it up, is the overhelp on the top drive or the ball screen when they're playing the over and drop coverage, that the wings are pinching in. And I don't think they have to commit so much because they're kicking it out for wing threes just from the point. That's been a concern all year. I've seen that happen. When we interviewed Coach Yah, he was talking about those closeouts, and I think the guys are just overcommitting to the ball handler instead of jabbing at him and then getting and starting your retreat to the wing. And that's something that against better teams you're going to have to clean up because they'll hit a tougher percentage of that. But the defensive effort was there all night, I thought. It didn't wane even when the shots were being missed early.
Yeah, it also just felt early like there were a few miscommunications on some switches and just, you know, like, look, I mean, I was fully expecting a slow start in this one. You know, you're in kind of you're in a neutral arena coming off that big one, that big win. So this is one of those games. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about if it's a rough start. It's does it linger? And it didn't. Indiana took control, had control by halftime and controlled the whole second half. So, you know, all that was fine. Andy, I thought it was a really interesting game for Jalen Hood-Schifino, who came out and really seemed to be pressing early. Like, I want to make a shot, you know, and he missed four shots, I think, before the first media timeout. You know, a couple of them kind of felt a little bit forced. And, you know, but what I was really impressed by is he came back in the game after sitting and was ready to shoot again. And I felt like his shots were a little bit more within the flow of the offense, not quite as forced. And, you know, I think he made four out of his next six, including, you know, 1 3-pointer that he dribbled into, got a couple of nice putbacks. And, you know, that continues to be one of the things that I like about these freshmen is, boy, they are confident and they are always out there trying to make a play. And you can see, you know, the coaching staff, especially with Malik Renew, you kind of have to try and rein it in a little bit. But you would so much rather have young guys where you're trying to rein it in as opposed to trying to, like, push them to be more confident and do stuff. And so I thought with Jalen in particular, you know, seeing him as a shooter, because, you know, that's a big question mark, struggled to see it go down, but within the game, just come right back and keep shooting. And he got that turned around and he ended up making, you know, 5 of his last 8 shots, you know, ended up, you know, scoring 12 points, you know, to go with 5 boards and a couple of assists. So, you know, it's another one of those where it's like, it may not quite be everything that you want to see from a phenom freshman, and yet he was still rock solid again, as he's been in every game this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. It felt like he was really trying to force things, and I think he wasn't the only one at the beginning of the game. It just felt like every time the first even moderately good shot was available, it was going up and didn't really make Miami work a whole lot. You know, Coach mentioned that before about really trying to move the help and some of those kinds of things. It just first chance they got to throw it up there, they did. And he was definitely emblematic of that. But agree with you that you do see some of that maturity maybe beyond what you'd normally expect from a freshman to really come back in, settle down a little bit, and rein it in a bit more over the course of the game. So I think there are definitely opportunities for him to take shots within the flow of the game. I just didn't know that too many of the ones early on were in the flow of the game. I mean, the one he misses a layup going to the basket, like, that's one thing. But, you know, some of the threes and things and pull up, you know, long twos, while he can make those shots, there are also shots he can get at pretty much any point within the possession. So at that point when IU was not really running a whole lot offensively, just kind of a chance to really settle everybody down and actually try to run through something. And if that's the shot you end up with, then so be it. But doesn't necessarily need to be the shot you end up with 18 seconds on the shot clock. But I agree with you. You know, good poise from him to kind of adjust within the flow of the game and get himself back into it, a little bit more of a flow as the game went along and was a lot steadier over the last 35 minutes, the parts of that he played, than he was over the first 5.
Yeah. Go ahead, Coach.
It is nice to see him play through some of the struggles from the previous game. Shooting, ends up 2 of 4 from three, and double digits in scoring. And I thought, you know, he's going to be one of those guys that never gets called for fouls when he drives to the lane and he misses. But how about his offensive rebound? He tipped in a couple, I believe. He can play. And regardless, the shooting is the extra, is icing on the cake. Everything else is what he brings to the game. And I thought he had an okay game, and he'll have some really great ones coming up, I'm sure.
Coach, how would you handle a player like Malik Renu, who, like, his every thought on every possession is, I want to go make a play. And it's great, you know, and you see him, and I mean, he's so good offensively. I mean, he was 5 for 7, you know, scores 10 points, has 3 assists, he gets 3 steals. Like, he's out there, and on balance, he is making so much more good stuff happen than bad. And yet, you know, you see some of the room for improvement, right? Like, he tried to go for that one steal on the perimeter and ended up leading to a wide open 3-pointer. And you see sometimes he tries to do a little bit too much, you know, on offense, and maybe forces a pass here or there, does this, that, and the other. And so that's what I meant earlier, you know, when I tweeted that, you know, it's going to be an interesting film session for him, because there's lots of obvious stuff to kind of pick out and coach him on. And yet you don't at all want to take away that aggressiveness that just makes him such a beast out there. I mean, he's constantly putting pressure on the opposition in a way that you actually don't often see from big guys. Like, there's this kinetic presence to him when he's on the court, and it's just great. So how do you maintain that, but just help kind of, you know, smooth out some of the rougher edges around his early game as a freshman?
You go up to him, you say, Malik, great game, son. Cut out the shit and you'll be better. Lay some up for the next game. You leave a guy like that alone.
Yeah.
You coach him. You instruct him, like you said. You deal with the film room, but you show just as many film clips, a positive as negative, but you play him more. Play him more. So he has like 4 mistakes and 45 good plays, and the ratio is just, you know, outstanding. You just – You thank him for coming to IU is what you do every game. I mean, you know, some guys can pee off the train, right? You know, and do whatever they want to do. Malik Renu is just one of those guys that, yeah, okay, Malik, I got a couple things I kind of want you to work on. Don't take it too seriously. Just keep doing what you're doing. That's how you handle studs, you know. Now, your role players who come in and make that same mistake, who lunge and do that, now you're a little more heated with the role players who do that. But your studs, like, you know, that wasn't a good decision, but you had 18 other great ones. Thanks.
Andy, what are your
seriously
thoughts?
You just teach. Yeah. The game of basketball is like a classroom. You just teach, but you got to balance it. You know, you just make sure that you don't, as you said, the important things, you don't take away that confidence and that playmaking from that position. You can't, yes, you want to coach to perfection, but you also got to make sure there's a highlight reel in there and you show appreciation. And I've said all along, I think that's Woodson's, one of his greatest assets is his ability to talk and communicate.
Yeah, it's funny to me with him. I think where you focus more of those kinds of reining in type conversations, probably a little bit more defensively, of where he doesn't really need to take chances there. He can be a solid defender. I think on the offensive side, he made some really good passes to either lead to baskets, or there was one that was, I think that I hate to give Stephen Bardo credit, but talked about like the hockey assist. He kicked it up to CJ Gunn, who got it in to Trace for a basket there. Like that stretch, he was fantastic making plays on that end. You know, and then the one where it's like you're thinking this guy needs to give it up. Somebody's like floating out to the wing for a three, and he's like, hell no, I'm going to Euro step past this guy and like put it in the basket. So I think where you probably want to focus more of that reining in is maybe on taking fewer chances defensively. But, yeah, on the offensive end, he sees things so well, makes such – you know, we talked about – or you guys talked about this, and we talked about it as we were, you know, kind of going over the game on ourselves. You know, he gets that play in the Xavier game. Gets a ball at the free throw line, so that throws that great lob to TJD. He just has a great sense of where to put the ball and is a good enough passer that I think – you definitely don't do too much to ratchet him back on that end, I think. But defensively, if you at least get him maybe where he's not putting other guys in position to have to make plays. But, yeah, the offensive stuff, I don't think there's anything you really want to do to rein that in.
That's a good point, because you want people to try to make plays, just like the shooting. I did. They weren't taking great shots, and they're taking quick shots. But right now in these games, you want people to shoot to get their confidence. You're not going to spend a lot of time, you know. Yes, you work on the footwork with Tamar on his first shot, and I thought there were some rushed threes, but you almost got to overshoot right now and get this confidence up. But that's a really good point, Andy, about. Yeah, focus on his defensive errors where he made defensive errors, because that's something that's going to be needed. You always want your offensive people to kind of push that envelope.
Yep. Okay, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 30-point victory over Miami, we will point out today's meaningful moments you might have missed, talk about Tamar and Miller Kopp, and then we will go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from this game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Lily King. I hope you enjoy the show, but ask yourself, do we really need this much basketball talk for swimming and diving school? Where do you think the candy stripes came from anyway? Go Hoosiers!
Always a fair question. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with Coach Brian Tonsoni and Andy Bottoms. We are breaking down Indiana's 30-point victory over Miami of Ohio. And it is time now for...
Meaningful Moments That You Might Have Missed.
That's right. Meaningful Moments You Might Have Missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. All right, guys, I want to start. My first meaningful moment features Tamar Bates. And it is when Indiana was up 32-26 in the first half, and you may recall, Tamar took it from over on the right wing, drove into the lane, got a really good look in the paint. He missed it, and Race Thompson finished it with his best Tom Pritchard impression with a great follow-up dunk. And to me, look, obviously that was a great highlight play for Race, but I was more focused on the play from Tamar and him creating an offensive opportunity off the dribble. You know, one of our big offensive or offseason conversations about Tamar was, can he be the kind of three-level scorer that we just really haven't had? You know, a guy who can be a threat from outside, but can also drive. It's what he did in high school. Like, we've seen him do it in spurts. You know, and so we saw him make a three-pointer early. He missed his first one. His feet were a mess. And then, you know, really was set up much nicer on the second one and made that. But I was really, Andy, impressed from an offensive perspective, obviously in a game against lesser defense, but the way that he used his dribble in the half court tonight to create some offensive opportunities. Now, Indiana didn't convert all of them, and he wasn't making shots when he got in there, but that ability to be a guy who can go off the dribble and put that pressure on the defense is really going to be important for Indiana. And so even though the result wasn't always there, I liked the process and seeing him be more confident using it, because it's just something we haven't seen a lot through the first three games. And to me, if we can get some of that stuff in these three games and then start moving it up into the better competition, you know, these three games can be really valuable. And so to me, even though Tamar wasn't efficient as a scorer, what was he? Was he 2-for-6 tonight? Yeah, 2-for-6. I liked more of what he did in terms of his assertiveness with the ball and the dribble.
Yeah, I think, you know, for him, I look at it a couple ways. One, it's an opportunity to really get him going. Maybe that means he gets to the free throw line and sees a couple go through the basket that way. Maybe he's able to get a drive to the basket and score an easy one that way. I think he's a guy who's kind of searching right now to get into a rhythm offensively. And so I think that gives him another way to do that, as opposed to just standing on the wing or in the corner and being asked to shoot three-pointers, which is something that he can do, but something he's not done consistently. So if you're really trying to get yourself into a rhythm, and the other thing that became maybe more important tonight, because Galloway wasn't available, you know, but a night like tonight, typically who he's playing with, he's playing with one of X or Jalen Huccifino and usually Galloway, at least the way the lineup's been. But without Galloway, you needed another guy to be a little bit more of a playmaker and do some things with the ball in his hands. And so I thought the assertiveness in spots there was needed based on the other personnel that were in the game. So I think that was important. But I think it's a good opportunity to diversify what he's doing a little bit and maybe get him going, get into a little bit of a rhythm, be able to take some, you know, shorter shots and see a couple get in the hoop as we go through there. But I thought a better performance from him in this game than against Xavier. Obviously, difference in competition level, all those kinds of things. But I thought he was a little bit just contributed in different ways and was a little bit tougher for the defense to figure out what he was going to do.
Yeah, you know, and on that subject too, Coach, we saw Miller Kopp do a little bit more off the dribble today. You know, he made the three in transition, but we saw him, you know, really using his shot fake. You know, he drove one time, took his man all the way to the hoop, had another one where he had that little, you know, about a 10-foot floater and just kind of died on the back of the rim and went in. That's probably not something that's repeatable against better competition. You know, he, you know, was that kind of able to get a step. So I'm curious, you know, how interested you are in seeing him create offense like that. And then also, again, from Tamar, it's just nice to see some offense in the half court off the dribble that doesn't come from just X, you know, and Jalen.
Yeah, I'll start off with Tamar. I thought he was really into the game, both ends of the floor, and that's what you're going to need. Obviously, we want him to be a little more productive across the stat sheet, but you know he'll get there, and I really believe he will. But he's got to be connected defensively, or Coach Woodson won't play him. And so, really, I was more impressed with Tamar defensively, not getting out of position, not playing helter-skelter other than that one play. And I thought that he has that ability to get to the rim. I was impressed with Tamar's offensive rebound on a long three, missed three, where as soon as he got it, he threw the assist to Race. I think Race ended up getting fouled, so I'm not sure he got an assist on that play. But, again, that is someone when you're searching for some offensive production – he could have taken that in and tried to lay it up and get fouled, but he made the extra pass. And I think that, you know, CJ Gunn had one later too, that shows how this team is connected. We're hearing that over and over and over again. As far as Miller Kopp needs to be a shooter, and he needs to think shot every time he catches the basketball. And I don't want him to shoot every time, but I thought there were times early that he passed up shots that we need – you know, those dead three shooters to take. And there was one in the second half, I thought, really, that he passed one up. And I thought on that pull-up floater that you talked about, he really should have shot the three. And that's what you have been talking about all year, is take the three, don't take the contested two. Miller Kopp's job is to make threes. And I thought he had enough room and space to do that. Now, a little bit later, 3 or 4 minutes later, he got that same kick out from the wing back towards the point, and he was ready. He thought shot when he was catching, but it looked like all of the Indiana players were thinking pass inside or move the ball instead of shooting, and that's going to be an issue, because if you're open in a college game, you got to shoot it, and you're most open when you catch the basketball. Not after you sit and think. I think Race does that too much. Race kind of fakes, and then he thinks, oh, I'm open, now I'm going to shoot, and that's why he misses. When he's hit a couple early in the exhibitions and everything, he just caught it and shoot. You know, Woodson might need to free those guys up a little bit. Like, if you're open on the catch, shoot it. The drive, this last drive of Miller Kopp, I'll take any day. That was hard and aggressive. He was able to score because it was Miami. But, again, if he goes that hard on a hard closeout, then you're going to create openings for your post on dump downs or kick out threes. I think he has to do a little bit of that, even though that's not his strength, in order just not to be a stand in the corner kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, the other moment that I wanted to mention, really, it's in the second half, just about the defense. Indiana was up 19, 17, 15 mark. Had one of I thought, their best defensive possessions of the year, and it included Tamar, where both he and Xavier Johnson just did great jobs of cutting off drives to the basket, just moving their feet, you know, and being ahead of the guy. The help D was on point, first forced a turnover. It was rock solid during a stretch when I thought Indiana really played well defensively. Andy, you were coach. Have a moment before we move to stats?
Yeah, I wanted to hit a couple with CJ Gunn. I think he was a good storyline tonight, a guy that we didn't see against Xavier at all, but was clearly the next man up with Galloway out tonight. I thought a couple really good defensive plays, which is not what I think anybody is necessarily looking for when he gets on the court, but I think had a couple steals within first few possessions that he was in the game. One guy drives right into him, right about the free throw line, got the ball, I think ended up getting the Miami guy called for a foul. Another one he dug down to somebody that had thrown it inside and got it there and even blocked a shot. But made some good decisions passing the basketball as well. Missed a couple shots in the first half, but did hit some in the second. So I thought those defensive moments were good in the first half. And then, Coach, I think it was you that alluded to this one later in the game. But, I mean, he, you know, your textbook example of one more passing, you know, gives up what he could have taken to give it to Caleb Banks, who made him look good by draining the three. But, you know, just a really unselfish play. You talk about the connectedness between these guys. And I thought some really good minutes from CJ Gunn, from a guy who, you know, coming off a game where he hadn't played, but didn't really feel like he pressed to say, hey, this is my opportunity, I got to go do too much. Just thought he really grounded himself in the game by playing well on the defensive end. And then the offense came along a little bit after that as he went.
If he can guard, he's going to play, because you just can't – you can't leave offense on the bench like that if they – as I mean, you do if they give up as much on the other end. And I was thinking that's what C.J. Gunn was just learning in the college game and Coach Woodson's defensive philosophy. But tonight, I thought he was in really solid positions. I thought he attacked the ball to get some of the beloved deflections and steals. And – that was just impressive. And, you know, I'd like to see him get a little minutes. I don't know who I'd take out. I'm not disappointed with anyone to reduce minutes, but that's a good problem. I was gonna say
Andy mentioned Caleb Banks. Can we linger for just a moment on Caleb Banks and the little Euro step that he showed toward the end of the game? I mean, this guy's got some tricks in his bag, and look, I know he's playing a lot of garbage time minutes, but you'd like to see guys take advantage of those. And so Caleb Banks right now playing 10% of minutes for Indiana. His offensive rating is 178.3. He's 8 of 10 from the free throw line. He's 4 of 5 on twos. He's made his only three-pointer. This guy's got some skills, man. I know he's not going to play a lot because of the logjam, but, I mean, you just watch him and – Feel good.
He's
about
a little
the
lost defensively.
Yeah.
There was one time where they, like, Miami had a layup if they had seen it. He didn't have any idea where he was supposed to be guarding somebody. But yeah, him and Gunn do not lack for confidence in any way, shape, or form offensively. They are definitely out there to get buckets for sure. So that's a good problem to have.
I think my meaningful moment, I think we probably all saw it, but the TV angle was kind of odd. But there was a play early in the game, I have it down at 16:24, when Jalen Hood-Schifino drops a little, you know, no look around two people, bounce pass in traffic to Trace, who lays it up for a basket. And that's the stuff when Hood-Schifino had missed some shots or it goes to miss some shots and everyone's wondering, hello there, what's going on? And I just thought that pass is indicative of, this is a freshman point guard who can really see the floor. But that was one where I kind of looked, did that pass get through? How did that get there? Was it deflected?
And I think it was intentional. Yeah, I mean, but that was a crazy angle because it was one of those where I felt like IU's been struggling a little bit on some of their inbounds, their baseline inbounds plays. And that was one where it's like all you do is get the ball into the corner and you think, all right, you just got to reverse it, get it back to the top. And he somehow slipped it through there to him for a really nice move that TJD made after the fact to actually get the basket. But yeah, that was one of the first ones that I wrote down as well. Just reflective of a guy who was really struggling with the shot at that point, but man, the vision to be able to see that and somehow slip that pass through there was incredibly impressive.
And how about his poise? Like, he gets hit in the face, he gets a questionable call, and he just has that stoic look, like, I'm going to be that assassin next time down. And that's the kind of thing you want from a point guard.
All right. My son has decided to join us for the rest of the segment. Should we go inside the numbers, Teddy? Let's go inside the numbers. Let's pick out a few key stats to discuss. You know, and the one for me that I want to start with is the three-point shooting, Coach. You know, you mentioned it earlier. You know, even though some of those attempts early, you know, not as in the flow of the offense as you'd want them, but Indiana did take 21 three-point attempts out of their 63 field goal attempts, which is back up over, you know, 33%. They made seven of them, so they're, you know, right at that 33% again from an efficiency standpoint. And don't look now, but through four games, Indiana's shooting 36.8% from three-point range, which is in the top 100. And I think, you know, again, even though you'd like to see more of them out of the flow of the offense, this kind of distribution where it's, you know, out of 63 shots, 21 are threes, that's still not great, but it's, I think, a better ratio for this team to live by as we move throughout the season. So I was certainly pleased to see that from a numbers perspective.
And I only think a couple of them were shots I would say they shouldn't have taken. A lot of them were early, but the open. Early open is not bad. Early somewhat contested is not even bad, I don't think. But of the 21, I think 19 of them were shots that when you go to film, you're going to say, yeah, we'll take that. Or maybe, you know, maybe later in the shot clock we'd take that. But there were none that were, I thought, maybe one or two that were just, whoa, we shouldn't even take those. But, in fact, Jared, you know, to jump on your bandwagon that Mediocre Jay keeps texting you about, I think we passed up three or four opportunities, and now your percentage gets a little bit better. If we get up in 25-26, I thought they were a little timid after the slow start. I thought they passed up some. But you got to take – it's getting closer to the volume we need within the scope of the offense.
Yeah, the other number that I want to point out is 10 defensive rebounds for Trayce Jackson-Davis. We mentioned on the last show, his defensive rebounding percentage the first three games of the year was under 10, which is kind of insane, you know, just given his history. I mean, he's usually up over 20, and given his position. Now it's right back around 17, and it'll keep going up. But it was really, I mean, I thought that was one of the stories of the game, was Trayce just controlling the glass in a way we haven't often seen from him. You know, his rebounding is sometimes a little bit inconsistent. And tonight I just thought he was, you know, it was just, he just had a determination about him. And, you know, we saw it in the Xavier game. He's able to lead more, you know, and it's always kind of tricky to lead as a big guy, but he really carried himself like a leader. And I thought, actually, you can see it in the numbers. Going out in a game like this, it would be pretty easy for a guy like Trayce to coast through, have 17 points, 8 boards, and have a really good game. And I just thought he was doing all the extra stuff today, and it really came through in his rebounding numbers. Andy, what numbers jumped out to you?
Yeah, I think along the same lines, some of the interior play, you know, overall rebounds were a pretty solid story. But really, I mean, points in the paint, 42-16, really shows where IU was able to control things. And I think that's where, when you look at the three-point shooting numbers that you talked about before, I think IU's still trying to figure out this iteration of the team, what the right balance is in some of those cases. I thought, you know, my only issue with some of the threes early was that once the first few hadn't fallen, do you need to go a different way and try to get Trayce the ball a little bit, try to get yourself into a little bit of a rhythm? But over the course of the game, it balanced itself out pretty well. I just thought in spurts, they were, you know, things really tipped heavily one way or the other. But that was really the, you know, the big one to me. The points in the paint were pretty dominant. And also reflected in the free throw numbers. IU gets to the free throw line 24 times. Miami gets there just 5. You know, the other rebounding side, and people might look and say Miami got 14 offensive rebounds. A lot of that was just, you know, long threes ricocheting out to somebody else. You mentioned the Geronimo one earlier where, you know, blocks a shot, it just lands right in somebody's lap. So I don't think that's reflective of any kind of issue on that end of the floor.
Coach, it's, you know, this is one of those games, you know, it's always kind of hard to figure out what numbers mean something, but did any other numbers jump out to you?
Yeah, the one scrolling down at the bottom, just because I'm messing around with these banners. you look and you have some questions about Indiana offense, and you have some questions defensively because we just nitpick everything, right? And then all of a sudden it's 0.812. You mentioned that, in I think, early in the banner moment. And for any college game, yes, the opponent is who it is. It's a rebuild for Coach Steele in his first year, and they brought in a lot of transfers. But that's where you want it. You don't want to see that number at – you know, 0.97 against Miami, and you just kind of showed up to play tonight and didn't keep your defensive principles. And so it's at a point where we got to – I think we as fans and we as, you know, podcasters have to readjust our evaluation, too, to having a good program again, too. We were so used to when we struggled and lost to point out the things that needed to get better. You know, I think in, I almost put this in the Discord one time because everyone at the 8-minute mark, it was too close. Patience, patience. The game will explode open. When you have a good program, a lot of times the game in the first 10 minutes is tight, and then the cumulative effect of the defensive pressure, the cumulative effect of the offensive pressure and pace and having a double team, it shows up in those point per possession in all the stats that we can look at. And that's what good programs do, especially against teams that aren't as talented. And that even can have some benefit in the games that against Xavier and those teams too, is when you have the depth and you have people who can come in, there's no time for our opponents to relax. And I think the numbers show that regardless of who we play.
Yeah, and look, it's hard in some of these games against, you know, teams that are ranked in the 250s and 300s to kind of gauge how are you doing. And this is really where I think, you know, when you have subscriptions to analytics sites like KenPom, or you can go on Bart Torvik and look, this is where looking at things on a possession-by-possession basis and against expectations can be really instructive. And Indiana has now played four games, and they have outperformed the analytic expectation in all four of those games. That's something that good teams do. And think back to all the recent Indiana teams. They might have like one or two where they did that, but then there would be one where they're only winning by 12 and it's closer than it should be. And all of these games so far, you know, they're doing better. And so, for example, they started out 12th in KenPom, Indiana now 8th in KenPom with an offense that is ranked 11th, a defense that is ranked 10th. I get that it's still very early and those numbers don't mean a ton, but they are a good early indication that on a possession-by-possession basis in these games, Indiana's performing well. And just to give you some context there, North Carolina, which is, of course, the next big game Indiana has on its schedule, you know, preseason number one in polls, they started number 9 in KenPom. They are now number 18 because in their games against UNC Wilmington and Charleston and Gardner-Webb and James Madison, they're underperforming that expectation. Those games are a little closer than they should be. And so I think that is really useful context for how to gauge Indiana's performance, which, you know, outside of a few slow starts through 160 minutes, has been outstanding this season. You know, when you go and you get the big road win at Xavier. So, yeah, we're going to nitpick some things, and it's interesting, I think. You know, you just don't want to spend the whole time talking about all the positive. You want to talk about where the opportunities for improvement. But you can look at some of those early season numbers and I think really take some confidence and some excitement in the fact that this team is really, really performing well and actually outperforming what they've been expected to do. Andy?
I guess two things, one statistical and one not. I mean, I look back at the you know, again, kind of around using the latter part of the first half that I referenced and then the entire second half, IU scored 1.4 points per possession. That was, you know, that overall number that Coach talked about is really weighed down by a pretty slow start, which was probably predictable in some regard. And then the less statistical component, I think, is a lot of what Coach said, is trying to get your head wrapped around the fact that, you know, this team is not luring you in to, you know, as like Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown, where I think we've kind of gotten to over the last so many years, where it's like, okay, I'm just waiting for something bad to happen. And coming off a great win, what are we going to do after a great win? How do things go wrong? And that's probably something that takes time for everybody to really develop a trust and things like that. But I do think this group of guys has, in the limited action we've shown has shown enough depth, has shown enough of an ability to bounce back, to you know, to start to let everybody build some of that confidence and not freak out when they come out and play poorly for the first, you know, 6-7 minutes of a game. But understandably, I think in some ways, probably not there yet as a fan base, but it's something to strive for sure.
For me, something that stands out, continue to be impressed with our two point guards. You know, Xavier Johnson needed to have a great game against Xavier, and he did not have the statistically great game today, but I thought he was great again. You know, I thought, you know, he took appropriate shots, except I'd rather him get his foot off the line and take threes instead of those twos with his foot on the line. The first two baskets should have been threes. And that's another example, Jared, of where you're right with the numbers. The numbers go up. If you take those two and then you add three shots that you might have passed up that I think were good shots, now you're talking 25, 26 threes and maybe even a better percentage. But rebounding is always going to be a key, and at times it was okay and times it was bad, but guard rebounding is going to be important for this team. And five rebounds for X, five for Hood Schifino. I think that speaks volumes. Hood Schifino had two offensive tip-ins there. That's good. And then again, those two combined had six assists for two turnovers, and to two turnovers, a 3-to-1 ratio. So we're seeing some consistency, no matter who you play, that we have a point guard who can score, can get assists, can rebound, and they're all on the floor at all times. Only maybe a couple times do you go to Trey Galloway or Tamar Bates, and that's so different than the team we had last year where it's just flip a coin if the backup point guard was going to be able to do anything. We all loved him, but this is so much better point guard play. And I've said it over and over, the college game, as much as we love TJD, Race, and Renew, and they're really going to drive us this year, it's a guards game, and you have to have production. You add what Kopp did tonight was Kopp things, and Tamar playing better, and get, you know, now this is where you can start feeling confident, if we aren't already overconfident about this Hoosier team. But the guard play has to be there, and I think it's been consistent. And if that's the case, we're going to win a heck of a lot more games than we lose.
Absolutely. Well said, Coach. All right, coming up on the Assembly Call, we are going to hand out our game balls and the Hoosier Hustle Award. We'll discuss a lingering question or two, and then we will look ahead to what Indiana has coming up on the schedule. That's next on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hi, it's Thomas Bryant. What's the only thing better than being Kentucky in the NCAA tournament? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Thomas. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game and every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. Well, not every Thursday night, not Thanksgiving Thursday night. We'll talk about the upcoming schedule here soon. But make sure you go sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. We're almost to 10,000 people on that list. You can join for free at join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. All right, I'm Jared Morris, the coach Brian Tonsoni, and the bracketologist Andy Bottoms. They are here. We are breaking down Indiana's victory over Miami. And it is time, guys, for our game balls, which are presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. That's bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all of their testing services, 23 in honor of TJD. And I think for the second straight game ball that Bloom Environmental has sponsored, I think it's going to be Trace Jackson Davis. I'll lead this off. Not going to get cute, not going to, you know, try and fall into some trap where, hey, someone else off the bench really had to get... No. Trace Jackson Davis was the best player on the court. I thought at the pivotal moment of the game, you know, where we were going to kind of figure out, all right, is this going to be a stupid dogfight? Are we just going to assert our dominance? Trace stepped up and did what a superstar should do. And so he was the leader by numbers. He was the leader just by aura and energy. And I think a game like this, look, I don't think we learn a ton about the veterans in games like this, but I do think this was another piece of evidence in the evolution of Trace as a leader. Because I don't think he's always, you know, obviously in some of these games he's played well, but there have been others that he kind of drifts in and out just like some of the other guys. And tonight he wasn't going to let that happen. So I was just really impressed with how the mentality he brought to this game. He was the best player, so he gets the game ball. I assume that you guys are going to agree, but let's find out. Andy, your game ball.
Yeah, hard to go against the guy that's 17 points and 16 rebounds, I feel like. Seems like a seems like a fair place to go. Now, I think the thing I was going to bring up was, you alluded to it at the end. I think if we look back over shows we've done during his time at IU, there would be points that we would say that a game like this, he may not have shown that level, played at the level that he did consistently tonight. And I think that's been, you know, part of the evolution of him as a leader, less so as a basketball player, but to really see him embrace even the smaller moments to lead and to lead by example. And I think that, you know, talk about wanting the team to be player led and things like that. Pretty tough to feel anything but positive when you see your leader out there in a game that you should win handily, really being the guy that's putting forth as much effort as anybody. So that's who I'll go with for sure.
Yeah, and interestingly, Coach, you know, not just out there trying to get numbers, because you know, you take a senior who knows that he's, you know, moving up the list in points, you could see some motivation to go out there and make this a game where you take 22 shots and put up 30-some points, and he probably could have done that if he had wanted to, and yet he scores his 17 points on 8 field goal attempts. You know, was able to get to the line, was looking for his teammates like that. It was just... Look, we talk about a lot on the show how watching young guys evolve all the way into seniors and seeing how they change just as people and leaders is what's so rewarding. And I think that's part of why I just really enjoyed watching him play today, you know, because you really saw that. It was a terrific, unselfish but dominant performance by him.
Yeah, he's really improved, and I'm going with TJD as well. He is just playing with an intensity. His rebounding, I mean, he's just exploding up and getting rebounds. His drives to the basket, he's not, you know, dilly-dallying around, taking 8 crab dribbles and then trying to, you know, work around a defender. He's just, you know, I really love that Sigma move or that face-up move that he gets in the mid-post when the ball's not right on the block. And then he just drives baseline, and he's got some agility around the rim. But you need your best player to be your hardest worker in practice, and you need him to be that in games. And that has been a concern of ours with Trace for a time. If he gets 2 fouls, is he, you know, does he respond to that well in a game? Or if things aren't going well, misses a couple. There have been times when he didn't have the that hasn't been the case this year, and it wasn't tonight. So, yes, an easy game ball selection. Trace Jackson Davis, when you get 17 points and 16 rebounds and you only play 25 minutes, just a fantastic effort from Trace.
As we mentioned in the last show, part of what we're doing with this fun little sponsorship is we're going to take a fourth of what they paid us for the sponsorship and give it to the winner at the end of the year of the person who has the most game balls. Well, we can't just give it to them, but in exchange for an interview, if that person will come on the show, we'll be able to give them that money. Trace out to a nice early lead with 3 game balls through 4 games. Malik Renew got the other one. So I think Trace is the odds-on favorite to get this one. And now it is time for the Hoosier Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Obviously, we all hope Anthony is okay. Actually, I didn't see the play because I was like in between moving from the TV out there to my computer. I just heard Stephen Bardo talking about the injury, the ankle injury. So obviously, hopefully he's okay. If I haven't seen anything on Twitter, but if anybody has an update, let us know. But we hope Anthony is okay. Hoosier Hustle Award, gentlemen. Coach, why don't you lead us off?
I'm going to go with C.J. Gunn. I think when he came in at the 11-minute mark of the first half, he got a couple deflections, and I thought that he really did a nice job of kind of getting some separation or leading the Hoosiers to getting that separation that was needed in the first half to kind of, you know, just get the game where it needed to be. But he has to play with that kind of effort in order to get on the court. And he's fighting for minutes. And I thought he was ready when the opportunity presented itself, which is what you always talk to those, you know, 9 through 13 kind of guys, be ready, be ready, be ready. And he then came out today and did the little things well. You know, obviously we like it when he hits shots and gets those breakaway dunks and shows his athleticism. But I thought he has made improvement in the 2 weeks that he's played on that defensive side. And it is Miami, and I'm sure that he's not quite ready to go up against the North Carolinas and Arizonas quite yet. But maybe we're looking at a back half of the season type of development guy that can really be a boost if Indiana needs some shooting and needs some scoring. So I just thought he came out and played. There's so many guys I think we can give it to be honest, but I'm going to go with CJ.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we're going to like about this team and that we kind of started to learn last year is there's always a lot of options for this award, which is really good. Andy, who gets your Hoosier Hustle Award?
Yeah, that certainly beats the what we've had to do sometimes where it's like, I don't know. Yeah. said with great passion about who it is. I thought I was going to be original and go with CJ Gunn, but Coach beat me to it. So that's who I was going to go with. Yeah, I think interestingly enough, he basically was filling in for Trey Galloway and did some of the things that we expect to see from Trey Galloway. Threw in a little bit of, maybe a little bit more scoring, certainly more shooting than Trey Galloway. Got up 7 shots in his time, but I think, you know, his overall contributions, plus minus is imperfect, as we always say. But, I mean, he was plus 22 in 18 minutes. I thought just impacted the game defensively and on the offensive end, made a couple nice passes. So I thought that was good. A couple guys that we really haven't talked about to just throw in quickly. I thought Race Thompson was really, really active, maybe more so than what we've seen in some of these other games, including his, you know, kind of pushing his way through the Miami huddle, which I actually enjoyed as much as anything.
It was great.
Just the look on his face as he like put both of his arms out and like went through those two guys, I thought was great.
There's a lot of I'm too old for this crap energy from Race so far.
100%. It was like a dad like breaking up kids, even though those two kids weren't fighting. But it was like, and Geronimo, you know, with the 5 blocks in his time, we talked about some of the blocks themselves, had 4 rebounds as well. So I thought he did well. But I thought it was a good, not bounce back performance for Race necessarily, but I think a good game for him to kind of continue to build on as he, you know, you guys talked about it after the show. We've all kind of seen it, trying to figure out, you know, where he's at in his, you know, progression of the season. And I thought it was a good effort from him. But yeah, CJ Gunn was the guy that I had earmarked for this one.
Yeah, look, so CJ Gunn obviously wins it because you guys both went with him. And I do not argue with that at all. But I was going to give mine to Jordan Geronimo. And in part, it's the context. You know, Jordan obviously entered this season with high expectations. And then in Indiana's first game of the season at Xavier, he played 5 minutes. And that's after, you know, doing some nice things in the first couple of games. And, you know, I always, you know, find myself wondering, okay, is, you know, how is Jordan going to handle this? You know, and he always impresses. Like, that's the thing with Jordan Geronimo and his mentality is it's always there. It's always team first. And he came right back out tonight. and what he ended up playing 19 minutes and made the most of them. You know, got to the free throw line six times, had five blocks, had four rebounds. Again, an opportunity that he easily could have, you know, kind of coasted through at 75% or even hung his head because he didn't play against Xavier. And he came out and made the most of his minutes. And that, look, man, that's what we love about this bench. I feel like almost every game you could, you know, you could give Malik Renew a Hoosier Hustle Award because I mean, the guy makes mistakes, but they are never mistakes of not hustling or just kind of standing around, right? And I thought Tamar really hustled today. I thought defensively, you know, and you know, all the time he was out there. So that is kind of becoming the defining trait of this bench is they come in and they play hard. And I really respect that about all these guys, but I wanted to give special mention to Jordan Geronimo, who once again showed the kind of mentality that whether he ends up being the seventh man, the eighth man, the ninth man, whatever his role is, he's going to help this team win a lot of games because he's a team-first player with a lot of athletic ability, and he goes out and plays hard and just makes plays. So hat tip to Jordan Geronimo. So he wins. That's actually Jordan Geronimo's third Hoosier, or no, CJ Gunn won. I'm sorry. So Jordan Geronimo has two, Xavier Johnson has one, and now CJ Gunn with his first Hoosier Hustle Award of the season. Okay, let's talk lingering questions. Chat mob, throw in any lingering questions that you have, Coach or Andy. I'm curious if you guys have a lingering question coming out of this game and maybe specifically that could be answered. You know, in these next two games that Indiana has, because by the way, they're not good. I think it's two sub 300 teams, Jackson State and who's the other one? Little Rock. Little Rock on Wednesday, Jackson State on Friday, 309-327.
My lingering question, it's nowhere near what it has been in the past, is I still think Indiana gets off to slower starts than I'd like to see them. And again, I have to take my own advice and be patient because the game just presents itself over the first 6, 7, 8 minutes. But I think there's been some things in the Xavier game. There were some things tonight in Miami that, you know, you'd like to see Indiana be more precise in their movement, both offensively and defensively early, and not wait 4 or 5 minutes to get in to a game because you just don't want that to come back to haunt them in a big game or in the Big Ten. I don't know that you can do that. And my lingering question is, you know, I think Indiana's starting unit is a little slow because when that second unit comes in, there's a lot of athleticism and a lot of energy, and it just seems to give a boost more times than not. You know, with Miller Kopp and Race, you talk about the old man, you know, type of stuff. It just seems like that it's a little bit off compared to the athleticism of the second team. I am not by any means advocating for a change in the lineup. I think that's not even a possibility. You don't do that at all. But I just would like to see, you know, Miller Kopp be a little more aggressive shooting the three early, running some things for Miller Kopp maybe, doing some things other than the four out, one in, throw it in the post and see how they're reacting. I thought Coach Woodson took a while to get moving with some alternate offense as well against the pack line today. So I wasn't really impressed with the first 6 or 7 minutes here or Friday night. And that's on an order, on a hierarchy of importance, is like a 2 or 3 when this team's playing as well as they are. But it's still lingering a little bit to watch. Can they get off to a better start in the next few games before North Carolina comes calling?
And obviously one lingering question that everyone's going to have is how's Trace's back? Because when he left, he was kind of holding his back a little gingerly. Nothing that seemed to affect his play. Did you guys see anything happen specifically? That I didn't see anything either. So that's obviously something to monitor.
Imagine that's a sickness issue too. Just to, you know, he was sick all last week and hardly practiced and then gave great effort Friday night. And then you're in a hotel and you're in different places back and forth in and out of a bus. And he gave great effort again tonight. You know, you get those pains. That's what I'm at least hoping was that he had just, he had it, you know, needs a day or two to get rejuvenated.
Andy, any lingering questions for you?
No, I think the start of games thing that Coach mentioned is probably the one that was there. Otherwise, you're not going to learn a great deal about this. They're great opportunities to get a number of guys playing time, as you saw this evening, dependent upon what, you know, the Galloway issue is. I said that was precautionary. Do you leave him out for the first game of these? Do you leave him out for the Little Rock game, knowing you're going to play two games in 3 days? At that point, you do, and that opens up opportunities for a guy like CJ Gunn, who really made the most of that tonight. But otherwise, outside of just, you know, getting additional chances to see some of the guys further down the bench, it's really, can you do something with slow starts? These are going to be games that are maybe a little bit hard to get up for. You're kind of the holiday sandwiched in the middle there, and some of the things like that. But otherwise, I don't know that there's a whole lot you're looking for out of these games other than keeping everybody healthy and seeing if you can make some incremental improvements on things from game to game.
Let me just toss this one out from Rock Hoosier in the chat mob. It says, are we bad at guarding the three? I get why this question is asked, just because it does seem like, you know, we've given up a few open ones, and it seems like a lot of times when Coach Woodson is barking at someone from a defensive standpoint, it's coming after a wide open three because of overhelp, like we talked about. I'll be curious to get your guys' thoughts. There's nothing in the numbers that suggests concern. Opponents are shooting 30.2% from three against Indiana. They're taking 40.5% of their attempts, which is very similar to what it was last year and makes sense given the kind of rim protection Indiana has inside. So, and, you know, and I do think with the kind of teams that you're seeing, their only chance is just to get hot from three-point range. And so you're seeing teams essentially just sell out offensively to get three-point looks. But I don't – like, I think the team, this team, despite being 10th overall in defense, has some things to tighten up. But it's early in the season, and that's fine. I don't – I see no concern outside of a few things that we've mentioned about overhelp and just tightening up, you know, some switching on the perimeter and some of the stuff that they're doing. I have no concern about this team's ability to defend the three-point line.
Well, yeah, I'm similar to you. I think the two things that have led to open threes that have potentially hurt IU, and this is a lot more the Xavier game than anything, because I don't think any three somebody hit in these other games was really of great importance. One, we talked about the overhelping. I think there's guys where they're so far away. There was one when we were watching the game on Friday night. It was like, you're so far away, you have no chance of impacting the driver. So to go part way and never really get to a point where you impact the driver and move yourself so far away that you can't close out on the shooter, like stuff like that, I think is one concern. The other is just communication. I think we saw some of that again a little bit more on Friday, where there were breakdowns in terms of, you know, how they were guarding screens. It was one with, I think it was Kopp and TJD late in the game that gave up a three at the end, where it was just clear they weren't on the same page in terms of what they were doing, which to me is more as much communication as anything. So like, if there's anything to worry about, I guess I would throw those couple things out, but I think those are both fixable for sure as you go through and look at film and do some things like that. So those are, if there's reasons to be concerned, like those are the two things I would point to, but I'm like you, I don't think there's any, you know, burning issue that's there right now, but those are maybe a couple things to keep an eye on as you go forward as it pertains to three-point defense.
It seems like we're having trouble guarding the three because teams can't attack inside with our rim protection very often. So, you know, they take a lot of threes, and then when you hit, anytime there's a three, it's a dagger type of feeling, like, oh no, there's 3 points. But I do think it's a great lingering question, because the overhelp on a top drive or the middle drive coming off the high ball screen is something that I think Indiana's going to have to address. You know, they're playing what I call an over coverage, where the guard tries to go over the screen and the post guy is either flat or in what's called drop coverage. And how you help that is you tag from the wing. And I don't think Indiana's doing that well. They're either not tagging and the guy's getting to the rim, like on Galloway with Kunkel the other night, or you're tagging, or as Andy said, you're in no man's land, you're in between. You're not stopping the ball or in a position to retreat. And I thought that was from even the exhibitions, where they were paying so much attention to the drive that they put themselves in bad positions. When we interviewed Coach Yah for our community, he was talking about how they were trying to work on closeouts. So I think that's been an issue for them early, and they're trying to get it fixed. And the issue is, and why it's a great lingering question, is when you got teams that could shoot it and have a little more talent, and you give that much space on a simple point guard drive or a point guard, you know, pick and roll at the top, they're going to have a lot of those. You're going to give up threes on, you know, a lifts off of ball screens and doubling the post and things like that. But that just seems a simple one pass shot from the wing that needs to be corrected. So yeah, again, minor concern, but it is a concern.
All right, so coming up, Wednesday, Indiana plays Little Rock. Then we have Thanksgiving on Thursday. We will not have a show, so no Assembly Call Radio on Thursday, but then we'll be back. We got two games sandwiched around Thanksgiving, which is really interesting scheduling, but we do have a nice longer gap around Christmas. So frankly, I will take that. I'll take the two games around Thanksgiving. We'll split that up, probably anticipate a couple of two-man shows for that one. I won't be here Friday because it's my wedding anniversary. So we'll not be here Friday, but it's Little Rock and Jackson State before, of course, the main event at the end of the month against North Carolina. Andy, is there anything we need to know about Jackson State and Little Rock?
Well, there's very little that I do know, so hopefully there's not a lot that you should know. Actually, the two teams are playing each other right now.
Okay.
I think Jackson State is up a few points at halftime, so that's pretty much what I know. At this point, Little Rock has not beaten a Division I school. Their only win came against Arkansas Baptist, which was only by 11, what that's worth. And Jackson State is 0-2 heading into that game. So, no, I don't know that neither projected to do well in their conference, and I think it's should be a couple easy wins for IU. And like I said, most important thing is make sure nobody gets hurt.
Yes, don't get hurt. All right, you're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. You can use the promo code Black Friday for 20% off right now. And the other time that you go, you can use our promo code HOME and get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, time for last call. Coach, why don't you go first?
Yeah, Indiana's 4-0, just like we hoped they would be, with a nice win to start off the weekend. As Andy said early, you know, what a weekend for IU athletics. It's just been a win after win from women's basketball, soccer, volleyball has a huge win, just, you know, like we want to see it. But a lot of good play with this team right now, and it's just exciting to see, you know, some guys pick up next man up when someone's hurt. That's where the depth is really going to matter. And I thought adjustments today, the final thing for me is adjustments throughout the day. I thought Coach Woodson made some nice adjustments offensively to get more movement and encourage the pace. I thought the substitutions were fantastic. I thought players within the game got a little more confident with their ability, overcome some adversity within the game. As we talked about, those are key things to pick up in these types of games where we should not have any question on the outcome. But man, it's so much fun to have a roster and a team again where, yeah, we're going to have a disappointment or two at some point in a postgame show where we're a little frustrated, but it's a talented team that you expect to win. And it's getting back to that feeling of Indiana basketball where, you know, every game I watched when I first was a fan, you expected to win and were surprised when you lost. And I think that's the kind of season we're in store for.
Andy, last call.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I kind of finished where Coach started. Was an exciting weekend of basketball. Really had a great time with Coach and Amy and Jay. I was glad they could come to town for the Alumni Association event. We had a great time watching the game. Good crowd of IU fans and a lot of excitement around the program was there, and to be able to get a key road win like that early in the season was really exciting. And I think gives people reason to just get more and more excited about the team. And hopefully we move a little bit away from that feeling of waiting for the rug to get pulled out from underneath you. But I think this team is going to be a really exciting one to follow. And it was an awesome time. Awesome to see them in person, which we don't get to do nearly as often as we probably like to. And it was a great way to kick off my weekend. And the win tonight was a great way to finish it.
Absolutely. A terrific four-game start for Indiana. We talked all offseason about how this was going to be a season of great expectations for the first time for this program in a while. How would these guys approach and handle the expectations, or their performance live up to it? Well, we only have four data points, and so far, as I mentioned before, in every game, Indiana has exceeded the expectation. And I think that is a great sign. It's been a long time. Start thinking back to some recent teams. When was the last time that we had a team that through the first four games, every single time out, they were better than what was expected of them, just consistently? And there have been some inconsistencies within games, but I think at a minimum, you know, you have to just be feeling good about what this team has done through four games. And I think, you know, if you allow yourself to dream a little bit, you can actually see, I think, in these four games, some reasons to be even more optimistic maybe than you were coming in. All that's going to matter is what they start doing when the schedule stiffens. You know, obviously a huge, huge stretch coming up against North Carolina, then Rutgers, then Nebraska, then Arizona, then Kansas. You know, there's no, the cupcakes are gone at that point. There are two more. But just really impressed with what Indiana has done through these first four games. Hopefully they continue to, you know, develop guys' confidence over these next two and then be ready for that big game against North Carolina. But just having a lot of fun watching them, having a lot of fun talking about these games, and looking forward to the next time out. All righty. That is going to do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. And special thank you to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you on Wednesday. Until then.
Take it from me, Christian Wofford. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Here I come, Mrs. Stansoni.
Do we give people Ryan's votes for Game Ball and Hoosier Hustle that he texted us, or nah?
Nah.
Let me just jump in real quick.
I think he said give a Game Ball to everybody, right? I think that was his idea. No, he went Trace and what do you have? Renew for the
Renew for Hustle. Yeah.
Gun second. It's fine. Yeah, sure.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I thought we needed him to tell us that TJD would be a good choice for the Game Ball, but, you know.
Just in case yeah. We weren't paying attention.
Yeah. I blacked out in the
Come
middle
on,
of a second.
Dude.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that was fun. This team is fun.
That they are.
I enjoy it. All right, guys. Well, we'll figure out the schedule for next week. Go enjoy. What's the NFL game tonight? Is there a good game on tonight?
Kansas Chargers, City and Chargers. Chiefs.
Okay.
I only need
Clearly,
Justin Herbert
I was
about
chicken.
Sorry, I hit the wrong one.
I only need Justin Herbert throw about 9 touchdowns. I can get right back in my fantasy matchup with my brother-in-law.
Hey, why don't you
make
show
sure they're to
your...
Palmer? Because yeah. I need about 9 in mine.
You want to show everybody your shirt, Andy, just to make sure they know?
No, I'm not. The Eagles did not play well at all, so I have nothing to. That would have not been a great loss, but I'm not here to rub it in. That performance did very is not rub inable. I don't believe that that's a word.
So. Rub inable. Boy, we're creating words. What did Ryan turn into a verb?
Refreshman year, I think. Yeah. Refreshman
yearing.
Yeah.
Just creating our own language here on the Assembly Call.
I will tell you that, you know, Andy's basement is real. You know, all those people wanted to order pizza and everything. You know, we now know that it's real. I sat right where Andy was watching some basketball late Friday night. It was nice and well done.
What Andy doesn't know is it was really all just...
He got to see what a really sophisticated setup I really have to do the show. Who's really, really impressed with it.
It's quite like mine.
It was just a reconnaissance mission for Chad, who is still determined to order a pizza to you during a show. Yeah. So hopefully Coach got the info that he needs.
He can now he can now speak to how difficult it's going to be to get any kind of delivery person to come anywhere near the door that is in the background and actually find it and have anybody answer it. Mm-hmm. He can certainly speak to that.
All right, fellas. Good show. Good times. We'll be back here. We'll see you all in the community. If you're in the community, we'll have some stuff over the next few days. But next podcast will be after the Little Rock game. Hopefully another fun one. So
For the community, we're going to get back to our Assembly Call top 25 poll. We added Bob Motes into the panel. Ooh, and nice. My freshman friend who's into sports and podcasting, Josh Pose, is also going to be submitting that. So now we have 5 members to see, maybe be a little – Well, we're always accurate because we're the Assembly Call. But
Josh is a good, solid White Sox fan. I like that about him.
That's the only reason.
It builds a lot of character.
Yeah. So we got a 5-man panel for that, and votes have been trickling in, and we'll finalize that after tonight's games. So be looking for that on a somewhat maybe weekly basis once January hits, but maybe every 2 weeks or so here and let games happen. But that's going to – be there, join the community. Again, Tony is doing a great job with with his film room and stuff. So, you know, make sure you find a way to join.
All right, last thing before we go, trivia time. Who has the highest, independent of like usage rate? Who has the highest offensive rating on the team? Don't look. Guess who has the highest offensive rating?
Well, didn't you say that earlier?
I was inclined to say Banks, right? Because you said he was Banks. Like 178 or something. Is somebody actually
Banks.
Higher than that?
That is why I brought this up. It is not Caleb Banks and his gaudy 178.3 offensive rating.
I assume that it wasn't, or otherwise you would not have
CJ?
Brought it up.
It is not CJ. I'm actually curious how many guesses is going to take you guys to get this.
13.
I mean, it feels like it has to be somebody. I mean, is it actually Trace?
No. I mean, Trace's is unbelievable. It's 154 with a usage rate of 27%. That's complete insanity. And folks are saying Renew. The thing is, Renew uses too many possessions to be that efficient because offensive rating, I mean, a lot of things are taken into account there. He's at 112.4, which, don't get me wrong, is a phenomenal offensive rating for a freshman using 29% of possessions, but it's not him.
Tamar?
It's not Tamar.
I know who it is now because I had to look. I couldn't handle it.
Cheater.
It is. Coach Marlowe is going to love it. It's Trey Galloway. Trey Galloway with an offensive rating of 181.1. So
I mean,
far
technically, it's Nathan Childress based on well, if you look down at the other part.
181.1 offensive rating for Trey Galloway.
I mean, so Childress is
it's
out
fun,
there
fun with
218.9, and you're just going to gloss over it like it didn't happen.
I love the early season numbers. Trace currently, by the way, number 5 in the KenPom Player of the Year Raider. So,
and Jared, I do appreciate you tweeting out the Titus and Tate commentary that just keeps supporting one of our hosts. It's meaningful.
Wait, which commentary?
The one about Micah Shrewsbury.
Oh, yes. Yes, apparently Mark Titus is right there on the Micah Shrewsbury bandwagon right along with you. So
he's the guy. Sign him up. Long term is, I think, what I heard on the podcast.
Yeah. Man, when Penn State's 7-13 this season, you take your victory lap. It's going to be great.
And besides our podcast, that is really, and Crimson Cast, and Podcast on the Brink, those are the three best in the whole country. But, Titus and Tate's right up there with Eye on College Basketball. Those guys, they had me laughing and serious looking up stuff. So there's some more basketball out there after you get done listening to all our stuff, everyone.
Yep, absolutely.
Shameless plug. We need to charge them.
All right, everybody.
Send them a bill. Good night,
everyone.
Good
one.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to y'all Wednesday.